so much. Today, I will be talking about anthropological analysis of archaeological human remains from South Korea. In this lecture, first, I'm going to talk about the Rakigari project and anthropological analysis Harappan people. Then, I will introduce anthropological studies on archaeological human remains from South Korea. Lastly, I will share with you some of the interesting results taken from my research focused on the paleopathology. Okay, let's get started. The first thing is Rakigari project and anthropological analysis of Harappan people. Actually, 2013 year, Deakin College has entered into an agreement with the Anthropology and Paleopathology Laboratory, Institute of Forensic Medicine, Seoul National University, College of Medicine, Korea. So, in this project, key question is who exactly the Harappans were and trace their origin and biological connection with people outside the Harappan region. Ultimately, we are trying to reconstruct Harappan people's life. Yeah, this is our team. Okay, I will brief introduce my working group. Our team is a professional association which enables to interdisciplinary research. In this photo, you can see key figures. There are anatomists and paleopathologists. It's me, physical anthropologist. My interest focused on paleopathology, forensic scientist, DNA specialist, forensic artist. His role is craniofacial reconstruction in this Rakigari project. He's a parasitologist. Okay, then anthropological analysis will proceed as follows. First, we perform a forensic anthropological analysis to reconstruct a biological profile as one of the first and most important steps. Actually, biological profiling is my role in this Rakigari project. Second, now we are trying to find out who they were by analyzing the DNA of the Harappan people. Third, we will now try to capture and study the parasite eggs that once exist in the stomachs of those buried during the Harappan era and ultimately isolate the DNA of their host deposited within these eggs. This process is conducted through the analysis of soil sediments on preserved on pelvic bones. Fourth, basically we will try to reconstruct the diet of the prehistoric people through bone chemical analysis. The study of diet of prehistoric people is an essential part of understanding how past communities were able to survive and adapt within particular environmental and social settings. Finally, craniofacial reconstruct works will be conducted. As the result, we can show the world how the Harappan man looked like 40,100 years ago. Okay, let me start with the establishing a biological profile. Biological profiling is my role in this Rakigai project. The basic, yet the most important documentation we do is building a biological profile. Biological profile includes biological information about the human remains. More specifically, it includes sex, age, ancestry, stature, pathology, or trauma. Whether or not this person female, how old this person was at the time of death, what is biogeographical ancestry, how tall this person was, is there any particular pathology or trauma that we may use for positive identification or may directly associate with the person's death. Second step is Asian DNA works. Now, Asian DNA works are ongoing by well-established molecular biological techniques. With DNA result, firstly, we can establish the individual sex by amelogenin locus analysis. Additionally, we can classify individual human remains to a specific regional or cultural group and determine population continuity or replacement. However, contamination of samples with exogenesis DNA is an ongoing big problem in Asian DNA working. So, careful research design and strategies are required for successful identification of authentic Asian DNA. Basically, we repeat confirmation of result cross-check of two or more labs doing Asian DNA analysis simultaneously by same method. This is our lab, our team's lab time space plan. Basically, contamination should be controlled from the excavation site to the final lab experiment space. Furthermore, the lab should be physically isolated environment room from main lab and equipment with nightly UV irradiation, isolated ventilation, and laminated flow hood. So, Asian DNA basically need a more complicated lab setting. Next step is to Asian DNA work on parasitic eggs, preserved soil sediment surrounding on paddock bonds. Basically, microscopic examination and Asian DNA amplification, we can infer the general level of parasitic infection of pest population and confirm the morphological characteristic of parasite species and phylogenetic relation between parasite species and modern species. Last step is the investigation of pest diet. The investigation of pest diet provides clue as to how our ancestors made use of natural resources and even how they modified their own environments in order to produce food. Carbon and nitrogen stable isotopes are those most widely used for dietary reconstruction. These isotopes have been used most commonly to study diets of marine versus terrestrial animals and the intake of particular types of plant resources, for example, maize and millet. Meanwhile, strontium and oxygen isotopes are most commonly used to reconstruct pest movement or mobility of both people and animals within a particular time and place. Also, when investigating movement of pest population and mobility, these isotopes are used to determine if a person is local to a particular area by comparing the isotopic values from the specimen with local isotopic values that must be established for that specific geographic location. Last step is craniofacial reconstruction. Basically, as you know, craniofacial reconstruction is a technique used to rebuild the living facial appearance onto a skull in forensic context, usually in order to recognize or identify an individual. However, these techniques are also used in archaeological research to recreate the faces of archaeological humans. The method as follows. Firstly, a three-dimensional head model was obtained from original CT scanning data. Second, the craniofacial reconstruction was completed using a computerized 3D modeling system. For final step, skin layer was added over the muscle and skull structure, referring to the facial anatomy, musculature, and teeth depths guided by utilizing transparency tools in the preformed software. This is the my study of craniofacial reconstruction using Korean mummy case. This is our in this study, the male mummy whose body was fully wrapped with by the clothes, Korean traditional clothes. Using a computerized graphic technology, the craniofacial outcome, along with the archaeological information about the hairstyle, ornaments, dress discovered in the comb, or portrait style in the typical drawing trend from the era was created. So, this research suggests that current craniofacial reconstruction techniques can provide an accurate portrait drawing of historical figures. Now, let me summarize the Rakigari project. For the skeleton from Rakigari site, firstly, we construct biological profile by forensic anthropological techniques. Then we microscopic examination and ancient DNA amplification works. Next, analysis of stable isotopes from bones will be conducted to gain the information of their diets and mobility. Finally, the analysis of craniofacial reconstruction will be tried. Okay, then I'm gonna talk about anthropological studies on archaeological remains from Korea. Actually, this is the framework of scientific analysis involving human samples from archaeological sites. As you can see, we conduct various analyses. The scientific analysis includes basic anthropometry, paleopathology, genetic analysis of human bones and ancient parasite, isotope analysis, pollen study. Actually, we have so many analyses. to reconstruct a past lifestyle and past environments. Usually our primary research data is from Joseon dynasty burials. Joseon dynasty burials include those many skeletons who could very well preserved in the Rhine mortar burial type. Study of Asian DNA has helped us to investigate genetic relationship and has also enabled the study of the evolution of pathogenic bacteria from their DNA preserved in the bones of those who died from infectious disease. Up to date, we have collected genetic profiles of Joseon dynasty population and studied of the DNA of pathogenic bacteria present in human remains of past population. These are our team's Ancient DNA Works publications. From now, I'd like to introduce some studies of Korean mummies. As you know, in this study of Asian disease, physical anthropologists focus on the evidence included as skeletal remains and mummified tissue. When mummy is founded, firstly, we have to get consent for scientific examination by the dead's descendants. Then, for detailed analysis, perform autopsy and physical traits were recorded on the macro and micro levels. During this process, endoscopy and 3D CT scanning data is gained. Lastly, sampling, including DNA sample, hair sample, and stool sample for toxicological and parasitological analysis proceed. This study is about hepatitis B virus DNA sequences from laparoscopic derived liver biopsy. From actually, this is a mummified child case. From a mummified child from 16th century AD, we found ancient hepatitis B virus DNA sequences. Analysis of a complete ancient HB virus genome revealed a unique HB virus genotype C2. Sequence commonly spread in Southeast Asia, which probably represent an HB virus that infected the Joseon dynasty population in Korea. So it's interesting cases. This mummified case is about cherubism. Actually, cherubism is a benign fibro cells disease of childhood limited specifically to the maxilla and mandible. In this research, taking CT scanning data images and autopsy research together, this case was diagnosed as the congenital diaphragmatic hernia. As you can see, we found a herniated organ by CT scanned images. This is a parasitological study. Over the past several years, studies on Korean mummies have yielded very pertinent data on parasitic infection patterns prevailing among certain Joseon dynasty population. In this study, the authors have established that the Joseon people were in fact heavily infected by various species parasites. So this figure is parasite eggs and larvae found through the mummy studies. This is also a parasite study. In this present study, relevant historical documentation was obtained and examined, shedding light on some of the operative socio-cultural factors that might have played a role in inducing a high infection prevalence of Ascaris soil-transmitted roundworm parasite in Joseon Dynasty. On this evidentiary basis, it could be confirmed that the recycling of human feces as fertilizer in the past of South Korea, and the habit of eating raw vegetables was both closely related to parasitic infection in the past. This is the stable isotope study. In this study, we perform a stable isotope analysis of human skeleton from Joseon Dynasty population. Our data clearly show that Joseon individual consumed more C3-based than C4-based food as the main staples, and that the proteins they ate were mainly terrestrial, but not of marine origin. We can confirm with this data. This is actually a paleopathological study. This study rheumatic arthritis. Both sides of a least joint bones. List joint bone. You can see proliferative and lytic lesions in the list joint. Lytic lesion is simply melting bone malformation like snow. So joint having rheumatoid arthritis connect bone and bones. So very interesting studies. In anthropological examination, joint destruction, erosion, or fusion were identified mainly in the peripheral skeleton. By the osteological signs observed in this case, the individual or female might have been suffering from a very rare stage of rheumatoid arthritis. This is also paleopathological study. This is about diffuse idiopathic skeletal hyperostosis. Hyperostosis means overgrowth of bone. So diffuse skeletal hyperostosis disorder showing hyperostosis of spinal column. Spinal column is bones overgrowth, as you can see. And ossification, extraspinal ligament or tendon. The prevalence of diffuse idiopathic hyperostosis has been found to be higher in historic peoples of upper and ruling classes. Also, this disorder is known to be a function of genetic factors. In this study, 4 cases among the 96 cases were found. From now, I'd like to introduce my research focus on the paleopathology. My research has been focused on collecting extensive data sets that measure the qualitative factor of like social complexity or social status subsistence along with scatter data reflecting non-specific stress. Put it more simply, my research question is how did they live? In Korean history, the Joseon Dynasty lasted for approximately 5 centuries, and it was the longest ruling dynasty. However, the life conditions of the population living during this time have never been investigated until now. So, to assess the life conditions of capital city dwellers in the Joseon Dynasty population is my major research question. Actually, in Korea, a study of population health has been made possible with the excavation of several large-scale cemetery sites after 2000 years. These individuals are from the Eunpyeong Cemetery in Seoul, capital city of South Korea. The Eunpyeong Cemetery was cell-based excavated for the construction of new town in Eunpyeong from 2006 to 2007 year. The cemetery construction spanned a relatively long period of time from the mid-15th to early 20th century, a period identified as the Middle and Late Joseon Dynasty in Korean history. Scattered remains from Eunpyeong Cemetery are the largest scale archaeological collection as a population in Joseon Dynasty period. Currently, relatively well-preserved human skeletons are housed in Seoul National University, College of Medicine, and Department of Anthropology. Okay, Eunpyeong site is located northwestern part of Seoul. Eunpyeong Cemetery is a mortuary site, mortuary place built naturally in the border region of the northwestern Seoul due to the law that prohibited the burying of dead bodies inside Seoul during the Joseon Dynasty period. In order to assess life condition or health conditions, several indicators were examined. The early developmental stress was inferred via the occurrence of linear MMO hyperplasia. The mechanical stress was analyzed by degenerative joint disease and antisopathies. Additionally, dental health indicators and osteological evidence of infectious disease affecting human skeletal remains were examined. Yeah, this is my pathological study. In this study, I'd like to explore the relationships between two types of vertebral degenerative joint disease to evaluate ultimately which type of vertebral degenerative joint disease is the more reliable marker that better reflects general activity-related stress. Fundamentally, the two types of joints in the spine have anatomic difference, and their degenerative joints are also different with respect to affected tissue and joint type. Accordingly, in this research, it needs to be examined separately between the degenerative changes of intervertebral joints from those observed in the upper pedial joints. Okay, this is the result. As you can see, the distribution or whatever degenerative joint disease by sex shows a similar trends in both sexes according to joint type. This is a comparative study. Compared to the degenerative joint disease prevalence in the vertebral joints reported in other studies during the similar period, the prevalence of DJD in Eunpyeong population is very relatively moderate. Rather, except for DJD in the intervertebral joints of cervical spine of males. Meanwhile, compared to the degenerative joint disease prevalence in the intervertebral joints of Croatian people, the degenerative joint disease prevalence of cervical spine in Eunpyeong population males is exceptionally higher than that of Croatian urban and rural population. Also, thoracic and lumbar vertebral body and plates of each individual were examined for the presence or absence of humeral nodes. Humeral nodes, as you can see, kidney-shaped bony modification. This pathological indicator is usually related to the mechanical stress induced in the vertebral joints. The humeral nodes in the Eunpyeong population occur more commonly in the lower teeth, thoracic spine, lower thoracic spine than in the lumbar region. Also, frequency of humeral nodes are significantly higher in males than in females. Compared with the other studies, the prevalence of humeral nodes in this sample is very low. This graph is male, this graph is female. The prevalence in Croatian population is higher in urban, rural both communities of both sexes than in the Joseon dynasty population. In this study, the hypothesis is that the association between degenerative joint disease and antisopathies would be differentially represented along the characteristic of joints and the enthesis type and the diagnostic criteria of degenerative joint disease. This research aimed to be contributed to the discussion of the use of degenerative joint disease and the antisopathies as markers of physical activity stress in past population. This is result. In general, the distribution of DJD was found to be different according to sex. This area is male, female. For males, the most commonly involved joint was the wrist. However, for females, the degenerative joint was frequently observed in the knee joint. In particular, wrist joints showed a significant sexual difference at the level of statistical level. This is the result of antisopathies. This table presents a distribution of antisopathies by sex. You need to focus on the red row. Actually, this area on femur bone clearly males had higher prevalence than females. Based on this result, male likely used the lower limb such as a femur, tibia, a fibula, more frequently or forcefully than females. In this study, we examined linear MMR hyperplasia as dental stress indicators on permanent anterior teeth of 160 human skeletal remains from the Joseon Dynasty period. The purpose of this research is to understand the characteristic of developmental stresses experienced by the people of the Joseon period by analyzing the pattern of linear MMR hyperplasia instances. As a result, mandibular canine were the most affected teeth. Maxillary canine is next coming in the occurrence of linear MMR hyperplasia, and third turned to maxillar incisors. In this study, the research question is, do dental fluctuating asymmetry and linear MMR hyperplasia occurs congruently or not? To get an answer, we compare the dental fluctuating asymmetry level of hyperplastic group to that of non-hyperplastic group. You need to focus on red low. This is the result. The result indicates no difference between groups. In other words, the hyperplastic groups did not show significantly higher level of dental fluctuating asymmetry than non-hyperplastic group. It means that we cannot say that a population with a higher frequency of linear MMR hyperplasia will show a higher level of dental fluctuating asymmetry than a population with a low frequency of linear MMR hyperplasia. In this research, it's about the relationship between barrier type and degenerative joint disease in six palpebral joints. The barrier types within the Eunpyeong Cemetery were of either earthspit and lime tomb barrier type. The individuals associated with lime mortar type or barrier were better preserved than those of earthspit due to the airtight environment created by lime soil mixture. It's likely that use of this barrier system has been restricted for individuals of a higher social status than the majority who were typically interred in simple earth feet. Because at that time, lime was a very expensive material given historical records. So in this study, we tested the hypothesis that mechanical loading involving physical activities is socially distributed in a population. Although degenerative joint disease is strongly affected by mechanical stress throughout adulthood, in this study, no significant relationship between degenerative joint disease and inferred social status barrier type was found in this study. This table presents the prevalence of palpebral degenerative joint disease by a comparative population. Let's take a look at this figure. Compared to males from Croatian and Peru population, the prevalence of the Eunpyeong population is lower, except for least joint. Here, I'd like to introduce a probable case of venereal syphilis dated to 19th century in Korea. Actually, currently I'm continuing to do research on this case. I presented this case in the Pilot Pathology meeting in Knoxville several years ago. This specimen displays a proliferative and lytic lesion multiple bones commonly found in the majority of cases with venereal syphilis. This specimen bears the characteristic of late venereal syphilis and present important new evidence for the state of triploma disease and in the East Asia. This case is a dwarfism related skeletal dysplasia in a late Joseon Dynasty population. The individual showed a clear signs of dwarfism-related skeletal dysplasia in the upper limb, glenohumeral shoulder joint shows a very severe malformation. As far as we know, this is the first skeletal case of dwarfism in South Korea that has ever been examined. Given the diffused deformities of upper limb bones and coarsened facial characteristics, we argue that a type of lysosomal storage disease is most consistent with the shoot of traits observed here. Okay, this is adapted geographic geometric morphometrics to overcome the limitations of traditional morphometrics and provide a more enhanced visual analysis of cranial shape. Using geometric morphometric techniques, this study focused on variation of cranial shapes in a population from Joseon Dynasty to obtain their specific characteristics. Currently, with geometric morphometric techniques, we are trying to new approaches. This is among them. We examined craniofacial. Actually, this figure is reconstructed by forensic artist. We examined cranial deformation and normal cranial variation in several populations of Asian Korea by means of geometric morphometrics and multivariate statistical method. This individual pertains to well-known deformed cases from Yeonmi site in Korea. We analyzed the well-known deformed cases from Yeonmi site as well as cranial from Nukdo and Imdang site dates from around AD 0 to 7 centuries. Specifically, this study aims at re-examining cranial deformed cases from Yeonmi site by new means of geometric morphometrics to better understand culturally modified part morphology. As you can see, deformed cases is differently clustering with normal cranials. This is ongoing study. This is also ongoing study of mandibular shape using geometric morphometric techniques from Neolithic period to Joseon Dynasty period. Now we are collecting geometric morphometric data on mandibular shape or past populations. As you can see, this is Neolithic mandibles. Neolithic mandibles are third century century from archaeological sites. the Neolithic mandibles differ from the subsequent mandibles. So ultimately, in this research, we like to find out the evolutionary changes on the mandible shape of past populations. That's all my study. Thank you. Thank you for your attention.
But she's here. Yes.
So you described several, you know, phenotypes or several traits that you're. Do you think it's different in the region, this part of Korea versus other parts of Korea? Is it something unique about the region in which this dynasty was present, which led to different prevalence, maybe different, you know, economic status or medical care?
Morphological features are different according to ethnic groups. We know. My case is from only Korean population.
But if you compare, say, with China or some other places.
Yeah. Furthermore, we plan to compare other population from other countries. However, in Korea, Neolithic sample is very rare sample. So this is just started. So we are. Continually, yeah, improve my research. Okay, thank you. Question.
You talked of a collaboration between the Deccan College and the Institute.
Yes.
Is it that it has just started, or any when did it start? Is some work done already?
As you know, Wakigai site was excavated. 20, this year, January and February, we excavated four individuals from Wakigari site. So in January, we already have samples for Asian DNA works. So currently, we sequenced, we gained mitochondrial DNA sequence from the human skeleton. So after that, we will analyze continually.
Okay. No more questions at this time. Let's keep it.
Thank you.